Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight, Lord, to learn, to grow, Lord, to move forward, Lord, to be free. And I pray, Father, for victory tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you just help me to convey the word of the Lord as it ought to be. And Lord, that this seed of the word of God will fall on good ground and bring forth a harvest, a mighty harvest of great ministry, Lord, of effective ministry, a fruitful harvest. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, I see in the scripture a warning for the body of Christ. It is in 2 Timothy. Let me just get there. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." And this was a warning that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy, his son in the faith, and it just speaks to our day, though, and how much we need to hold the sound doctrine. It is amazing to me how I see in the last 10 years especially, but looking at it over the long term, I've been in full-time ministry for 35 years, and it is amazing to me. They always talk about how the methods are changing. We're changing the methods, but we're not changing the message. But I'm telling you that if you listen to the messages of 30 years ago, and you listen to the messages that are so popular on the internet and TV and radio today, it is quite different. And I want to tell you something. God certainly speaks to different people at different times in different ways, but the message of His Word never changes. And the passages of Scripture and the verses of Scripture that meant one thing 30 years ago, let me tell you, the meaning of that verse has not changed. And Brother Big Shot, who got a revelation, the Holy Ghost told him, "Well, it means this instead of whatever everybody's always taught." I just got to tell you that a lot of that comes down to people wanting something novel and something new that nobody else has ever heard before. And oh, how we need to stick with the Word of God and not be distracted by novelty. People say, "Ooh, that's really deep." Yeah. I got to leave that alone. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Listen, that's not the message tonight. That's just the preface, all right? So here we go. Have you been called? And have you been sent? Did you know that there really is a difference, and we need to know what the difference is? There's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ because there's so much focus on our call. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. Listen, we are all called. Every one of us has a calling on our life. And we've been talking about this on Sunday morning, how that God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which He's ordained in advance for us to do. See, all of us have a call on our life, every single one of us. You may not be called to vocational ministry, but I want to tell you something. God wants to use you. And He doesn't just do things just for no reason. There's always a purpose. You see, your call and your gifting and your fulfilling God's plan and purpose in your life is going to impact people for eternity. You know, sometimes we shy away from this, but we need to accept the responsibility of this, that what we do in this life is going to make a difference in somebody else's life in eternity. That if we fulfill God's plan and purpose in our life, then there will be people in heaven because of us. might be one, or it might be 10, or, you know, you just don't know the ripple effect that if God uses you and your influence. And that doesn't mean that necessarily that you're the one that led them in a sinner's prayer. That's not it at all. You know, a lot of the time, listen, the Lord uses a lot of different people to reach somebody and to strengthen somebody and grow somebody. But you don't know how many people that person may reach. And I'm just telling you that all of us are called, and we need to know that. But you also need to know that being called and being sent by God are not exactly the same thing. And so as we're going to look at that tonight in the scripture, and I really believe that this helps us expose some attitudes in the religious culture of the day that are not scriptural. And we need to hold to the principles of scripture. So all of us are called. And all of us need to be sent. You know, we have to be willing to serve. We got to be willing to help those who are in need. We need to be willing to answer the call to minister to people every day. But there is also a call on our lives for a specific purpose. There's things that God wants to do in our life, and I really believe that not just for me, not just for those in vocational ministry, but each of us, there's a call, a lifetime call. There's things that God is going to direct you towards, a certain area of ministry, a certain sphere of influence where God is going to use you. But a lot of the time, mature believers will recognize the call of God on their life, but they don't realize the importance of being sent. Sometimes there's a call, but we haven't really been sent yet. So 53 times in the book of John, Jesus uses the word or a derivative, some form of the word, send. He seldom ever uses the word called. But he talks a whole lot about being sent. And so we need to realize there's something to this. We talk all the time about being called and never talk about being sent. So it's kind of backwards of what Jesus did, at least in the book of John. But many times there are people in the body of Christ that feel like they're called and yet they're frustrated because to them, it seems like their call is not being recognized, or they're not being allowed the opportunity to fulfill their call, and they're frustrated. They haven't been sent yet. John 20 and 21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now, he's speaking this to the disciples after the resurrection, and I want you to notice, first of all, as he says, "As." In the same way as the Father sent me, he tells the disciples, I'm sending you. So how did the Father send Jesus? Well, first of all, you need to know this, that he was born like the rest of us, as a baby. And for 30 years, he was not a great prophet, operating in powerful ministry, healing people and preaching and raising the dead. For 30 years, he lived a somewhat normal life. Now, we get a few glimpses that everything wasn't exactly normal. When you see Jesus at 12 talking with the religious leaders in the temple about his Father's business. But for the most part, he lived this normal life, so much so that when he came back in his ministry to his hometown to minister to the people there, listen to what it says in Matthew 13, 54 through 57. When he'd come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. I mean, Jesus grew up in their town. They knew who this guy was. He's the carpenter's son. And for 30 years, he lived with his mom and served as a carpenter. I wonder if Jesus, as a carpenter, ever made a crutch for a lame person. I wonder if Jesus, as a carpenter, ever made a casket for someone who passed away. Could he not have healed them instead of making them a crutch? Could he not have raised them up instead of making a casket? Let me tell you something. It wasn't time yet. He was called from his birth, but he wasn't sent yet. Jesus' first miracle at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. His mother volunteers him. Anybody ever had that kind of an experience? His mother volunteers him. She says, they have no wine. And Jesus says to her, it's John 2, 3 and 4, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Try that on your mom. My hour, listen, my hour has not yet come. Listen, if you feel like that you have not arrived in all God has for you and you're not completely fulfilling your call, don't feel bad about it. Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. My time has not yet come. And maybe, yes, you have a call, a lifetime call, but maybe your hour has not yet come. We need to understand there's a difference between the call and being sent. You know, Abraham at 75 was called to be the father of many nations, but it didn't happen for 25 more years. And then it was sent. But let me tell you something. About 11 years in, when he's 86, him and Sarah decide that they're going to help God fulfill this call. And did they ever make a mess? And you know what? People do this all the time, where they get in the arm of the flesh and they try to make something happen that only God can do in his time. Let me give you another example. Moses was called to deliver Israel from Egypt. From his birth, he was called to do it. But he was not sent to do it until he was 80. Some of you are thinking, I'm 65, I guess I missed it. Maybe not. He was sent at 80. Now, at 40, Moses tried to produce the call in the flesh by killing a man. When he was 40, he thought he could deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians by killing one Egyptian at a time, I guess. Acts chapter 7 tells us that he was trained and educated in Egypt. Acts 7:22, it says, and Moses learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, this is Moses at 40. Let me read the NIV. It says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. He knew how to speak before he talked to sheep for 40 years. And when he was 40, if God would have sent him and spoken to him then, he probably would have said, I'm ready. I'm your man. And you know what? The church today would have said, that's right, he's our guy. He's got all the gifts. He's got all the right stuff. He's the guy. He's the one. But let me tell you something. At 80, when God sent him, he said, who am I? And the Bible says that he was the most humble man in the whole world. Here's the difference between 40 and 80 for Moses. You see, it wasn't time yet when he was 40 because character had to be developed in him. When he was 40, he would have taken the glory. But when he was 80, he gave God all the glory. But the process between the call and the send is to get rid of the pride and self-reliance so God can use us and God gets the glory. But character has to be developed. And you know, let me tell you something about character being developed. I've never met a person that said, you know, I need character to be developed in me. Nobody thinks that. We all think, I mean, by the time we're 16, we think, I got character. Nobody thinks, oh, I need more character. And nobody thinks that character will take a long time. It's just, you know, there's a fast track. Surely there's a way to do this fast. You can do a lot of things fast, but I'm telling you that most of the time, character takes time. Tom Landry said, people striving, being knocked down, and coming back, that's what builds character. I've seen very little character in players who never had to face adversity. It's amazing how challenges and difficulties can help us develop character. Jacob had to go live with his manipulating uncle, Laban, for a while to help get that deceiving manipulator out of himself. I worked for a pastor one time who was mean and surly, and I learned a lot from him. I had several training grounds, believe me, that were very, very uncomfortable, very challenging, but oh, I know that God was working some character in my life. I've seen a lot of people get frustrated and walk away from their call because things didn't happen the way that they thought it should. I don't say this to pat myself on the back. I'm going to tell you this to illustrate to you how I've seen this. And this is just the youth group where I really got involved in church and ministry and really turned my life over to the Lord. It was a large youth group, and there were 14 young people in that youth group who felt called to full-time ministry. All are called, but there were 14 who said, I'm called to full-time ministry. And there was a couple of them that did for a little while. I'm the only one. And I'm just telling you, it's not because I'm better, smarter, or anything else. Let me just tell you this. Here's how that happened. Somewhere along the line, they didn't feel like it happened the way that it should have and in their time frame. And so they walked away. And I've seen it over and over and over in 1,000 different ways where when somebody's call doesn't come to fruition and come to pass the way they thought it should, they walk away. Or like Moses, they try to make it happen in the arm of the flesh. Is there an unfulfilled call in your life? Realize that God has a time. You know, David was called to be king. He was anointed to be king by the prophet of God. He was anointed to be king as a teenager, but he didn't become king until he was 30. Couldn't God just fast track this? I mean, you know, old King Saul, he was out. He had disobeyed God. He's out. David's the new guy. Let's just go ahead and get this over with. But you see, God wasn't through with David. David, the man after his own heart. He was anointed to be king, but he waited, depending on, you know, who you listen to. But somewhere between 10 and 15 years, David waited, because he became king when he was 30 years old. But during that wait, he was hunted by King Saul. This is the guy that God has chosen, called to be king, and he's being hunted by King Saul. And when David has the opportunity, who's anointed to be king? David, he's anointed to be king. And when David has the opportunity to kill King Saul, he says, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I'm telling you, David was somebody that God was developing real character in. He knew it wasn't his time yet, even though he was called. After David became king and he raised a family, his son Absalom might have been king someday. There's no indication that Absalom was ever called in any way to be king. Maybe he just wanted that position. And by the way, there's a huge downfall for a lot of people. They're not really called to a certain area. They just want it. And it never ends well. But whether he was called or not, Absalom went after being king. He had a lot going for him. In 2 Samuel 14:25, it says, Now in all Israel there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. It's really interesting. In the next verse, it talks about how his hair was so thick, once a year or so, he'd cut it off just because it was so heavy. It would weigh 5 pounds. That's crazy. But listen to this. 2 Samuel 15:6, it says, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You know, he set himself up as kind of a judge, and like, hey, I'm the guy that's here for you to help you, and I'm... And what he did is he went behind his father David's back and he stole the hearts. I mean, he had the favor of the people. But he went behind his father's back. And I just want you to understand something. Here was a guy that had a lot going for him and had great potential. But he ended up, he didn't become king. Instead, he died in shame. And it's a sad story. Joseph. How about Joseph? I'm telling you, he was called as a teenager when God gave him these fantastic dreams of how he would raise him up and put him in a position of great authority. But there was something that had to be developed in Joseph first. Character. Now, I want to say this one more time. I've never met anybody that said, you know, I need character to be developed in me. Joseph needed character. His brother sold him into slavery. He ended up falsely accused and put into prison. But somewhere around 12 years later, God sends him. He raises him up to be the one who saved the whole known world from famine. God used Joseph to do that. And in the process, he was saving the people of God from famine. But character had to be developed first. In the kingdom, character comes before position in the kingdom, not always in the church. Romans 1:1, Paul says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. I just want you to see that he always puts his servant before his calling. Ephesians 4:1, he tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Character is so important if we're going to be used of God. Everybody's called. Not everybody is called to vocational ministry, but everybody has a calling. And I want to say this again. The problem is that so many people aren't willing to go through the process when they're called until they're sent. A call is the what. A send is the when. It's when God says, now. A lot of people aren't there. When God says now, that it never happens because they've already walked away. They walked away from the process. Stay with me. God speaks to Ananias to go and minister to Paul after he has had this experience on the road to Damascus. And this is what God says to Ananias. And we're going to just kind of look at Paul's life a little bit here. And it's Acts 9:15 through 16. This is what the Lord says to Ananias. He says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So he was called to preach to the Jews and to the Gentiles and to kings. That's pretty much everybody. What a call. In verse 20, it says, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. So Paul didn't waste any time getting involved in ministry. And I want you to understand something. If you're called, you should all, and all of you are called, amen? You should always be involved in ministry. You should always be a servant. You minister between the call and the send. I've known a few guys who were so hopped up on their call that I'm going to be this, I'm going to do this, that they were unwilling to serve and to work in the body of Christ. And guess what? They never did the big thing. No, when you're called, you immediately serve and you work and you do the work of the ministry every day and you do what you can. We read John 20 earlier, where after the resurrection, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. But he called the disciples 3 years before, and they did ministry for those 3 years, right? Y'all getting quiet on me. They did ministry for those 3 years. And there were times when he sent them out to fulfill a certain task. But now, after the resurrection, this is something different. He is commissioning them. He is sending them. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And there is a different responsibility. There is a different authority on them. And there's a different anointing on them from this time forward. It was not the same. Many times, we make the mistake of stepping out in a calling before it's God's time. And the devil will try to get you discouraged and to quit the process. But between the call and the send, God establishes commitment in your life. Listen, there has to be commitment. The first commitment is to relationship. And again, we're going to keep looking at the life of the Apostle Paul and his ministry in Acts 9. We're still in Acts 9, verse 26 through 28. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple. Wow, that's tough, isn't it? Here this guy has had this great experience with the Lord, and God has called him to preach to the Jews, Gentiles, and the kings, but guess what? The disciples are afraid of him. They don't want anything to do with him. He didn't have any relationship with them yet. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. He stayed there, coming in and going out. And relationship was being developed. Now, it could have said If the church today, I'm talking about the church culture today and the attitude of the day, this is what it would have said today. And Paul went out and did his own thing. But that's not at all what it says. Last year, a man came to our church, and I'm going to keep this really short. He approached me and he said, "I want to teach a discipleship class." This he'd been here all of 2.5 weeks. He says, "I want to teach a discipleship class." And I tried to be gracious, and I just told him, I said, "Well, you need to get to know people. You need to build relationships. You need to get in a small group. And you just need to let the Lord do that. If that's, you know, if that's what God has, then you just need to leave, you know, we'll see." Well, a few weeks later, he was gone. And I'm just telling you that there has to be a commitment to relationship. This is the way that God works. This is the way the body of Christ works. And it is not what is popular to hear in religious culture of the day. It goes along with that thing we talked about Sunday morning. It's just me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. That's all that matters. That's not the way God works. Everything he does is through relationship. And ministry has everything to do with relationship. Has to be a commitment to relationship. One of the reasons that some people are never sent is they never take time to build relationships in the body. For Paul, between Acts chapter 9, where we've been reading, and Acts chapter 13, where he is sent, there is 13 years. See, sometimes we don't get time frames really clear when we just read through the scripture, but 13 years went by in those four chapters. If he would have left God's process, he would have never had the same authority and anointing. And I'm telling you, there is a raising up process. It is a matter of character and responsibility. Most churches do it backwards. Listen to me. They start by giving someone a position, and then they hope they can trust them, and they hope that they'll get the opportunity to develop a relationship with them. I see it all the time where churches try to connect people by giving them a position. Backwards. We need relationship first. Then we learn to trust them or not. And if we can trust them, we give them responsibility. And if they're faithful, we give them more. That's the way the kingdom works. That's what the Bible teaches. It should be relationship, trust, responsibility, position. It starts with relationship. You can't ever get to trust without relationship. If you trust somebody, you have no relationship. There's a word for that. Foolish. You got to have a relationship first to trust somebody. And then when you trust them, you give them responsibility. That responsibility is developed. And when responsibility is handled properly, position comes. The second commitment after relationship is accountability. I want you to see the Apostle Paul was not just out there on his own doing his own thing. He answered to others and they watched out for him. Acts 9, 29 and 30. "And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus." He had some people he had developed a relationship with, and they were watching out for him. And listen, chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. "Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus," that's where he went, "to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus, and he gets him, and he takes him to Antioch, and they stay there for a full year in ministry. Now here's the point. We need people in our lives that we're accountable to and that will watch out for us. You know, we can't just live by the opinion of everybody, but there has to be some people in our lives, some spiritual people that we are accountable to and that can be there to challenge us and sharpen us, people that we're in relationship with that can help us reach our potential. The third commitment is a commitment to the local church. Boy, this one isn't popular at all. I said it a bunch of times, but it needs to be said. The Lone Ranger is dead, and even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Acts 12 and 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. They returned to the local church at Antioch. They didn't just go to the body of Christ at large. No, they had a local church there at Antioch that they returned to. Listen to what Paul tells the Corinthians about church. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 and 21. Indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And yet so many people think they don't need the body. There has to be a commitment to the local body. None of this attitude that's so common today where we just do our own thing independent of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, that same chapter, he says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I want to tell you something. That can't happen without relationship. That can't happen without a commitment to the local church. Fourth commitment is a commitment to leadership. Acts 13, 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Who are these prophets and teachers? Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Didn't say anything about apostles. Saul and Barnabas had not yet been recognized as apostles. They were recognized as prophets and teachers. But they were committed to the spiritual leadership at Antioch until they told them what to do. Now listen to this, verse 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. I just want you to see that there always has to be a commitment to leadership because God always works through authority. The kingdom is built on authority, the rule and reign of God. And as you read the scripture, as you read the New Testament in particular, you read the epistles of Paul, you see that God moves and works that way, that spiritual men, you see, laid hands on them and sent them out. In verse 4 it says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. The Holy Spirit uses spiritual leadership within the local body. They had to be committed and allow God to develop character in them. And you know what? So do we. We have to be willing to let God call us, but also send us. Listen, when we're sent, there is a greater anointing. Hear me now. People are gifted and called, but many times it is because of character, or the lack of character, rather, that they're not sent. and they're not anointed. Gifting moves people. Anointing changes people. You see, gifting can be natural abilities. It can move people. But anointing is something supernatural that is beyond, that is independent of human ability. And anointing is when God does the work, not because of us, but many times in spite of us, but He anoints when we have had that character developed in us and we're ready to be sent. So what's your calling? What are you supposed to do right now? I remember when God called me and I didn't know what I was going to do. I remember when He called me to be a youth pastor, and I remember when I felt a call to lead worship. And I remember that 8 months before I came back to Grace in 2004 to be the pastor, that a man of God spoke over me and he said, God is giving you a new anointing. And I'm just telling you that there are times in our life where we are fulfilling the call and God's purpose in our life at this time, but many times it is just a preparation for the next step, for the next thing that God has for us. But don't get ahead of God, but instead stay committed, stay in relationship, stay involved in the local church. Let God develop in you what He wants to, and allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that sends you out. Well, I hope you learned something tonight. But I'm telling you, there's more that God has for us. And I really want to see every person fulfill their potential in God. And I really believe some of the things that I've shared with you tonight are some of the downfalls of why people don't. And at the same time, it shows us that roadmap, how we can fulfill our potential that God has for us, not in the flesh, but allowing God to do the work and use us for His glory and honor. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. I'm sorry I've been a little long tonight, but I'm going to pray fast, all right? Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You have people here tonight that are growing, that are learning, that are excelling in what You have for them, Father, and that character is being developed in us. And I just pray over them, Father, for a great and mighty harvest, Lord, that they will fulfill all of the plan and purposes of God in their life to the saving of many lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you.